Afternoon Drive with Goodman and Mason, presented by Silter Har Mazda. A no-pressure buying experience in Broomfield at Silter Har Mazda. Find them at sthmazda.com. Live from the Sasquatch Casino and Wildcard Casino Sports Desk, here's Eric and Andrew.
Everybody, welcome to Afternoon Drive. Goodman Mason, watch us, smilehighsports.com. You can reach us, Rocky Mountain Forest Products Twitter feed, at Mace Denver, at Eric Goodman. If you are looking for wholesale lumber to the public, go to rmfp.com. In the meantime, if you are thinking about dinner, my suggestion is go to Smoke and Dave's Barbecue and Brew. Their barbecue is simply terrific. It's not just the best barbecue place in town, it's honestly one of the best restaurants in town. Their non-barbecue items are fantastic. Sides, great. Their desserts are really good, too. You can go find them in the Denver metro area. And those two locations, North Denver and in Centennial off of Arapahoe Road. Mace, how are you feeling today?
I'm fine.
How are you feeling today after last night's baseball game?
I'm feeling outstanding. I'm feeling great. The Atlanta Braves, my Atlanta Braves live to fight another day. Thank you for your assistance.
You're welcome.
Yes.
That's why I'm here. It was a one-shot deal. And
so I can't use that if necessary in the...
No. Can I tell you why?
Why?
Because the games are not going to be on during the show.
I still don't
Unless,
like...
Do you want me to come
I
over
still
to your
don't
house?
Like, no, but I
do
still...
Do I need to come over to
no,
your house?
But I still don't like the fact that you roped me into any kind of bet regarding the National League Championship Series. Even though there's no cash involved with that, I've had a hard and fast rule of not betting on anything involving any of my teams for decades, and you pulled me out of that. I'm not a fan of that.
I'll tell Chad that you're out. That's simple. No, I'm serious. I'll tell Chad that you're not making the bet anymore. He's probably putting about $300-$400 on the line, and you have to wear a hat. But if you're that bent out of shape
I'm fine.
You brought it up on the air. It's canceled.
He's
putting a ton on the line, and you have to wear a lousy hat.
Hey, that's a big step for me.
Bet's over. Time now for the lead.
The lead is presented by Marco's Pizza in Aurora, where everything is fresh, never frozen, like the dough and sauces to go with hand-cut meats and veggies. Order today at either location, off Smoky Hill Road or Quincy in Aurora.
Okay, Mace, let's talk about Vic Fangio at his press conference today, saying what we thought he would say. Ronald Darby is good to go. We'll know probably more by Friday, but we are expecting him to start. So, you think he will start?
I think he'll start, and I would hope he would start ahead of Kyle Fuller. Kyle Fuller, who has allowed a 119.7 passer rating when he's been targeted this year.
Right. Now, On the surface, I agree with you. Would you rather have Fuller out there? Listen, the way Fuller's played, he hasn't been good. I'm with you on that. Mm-hmm. But would you rather have Fuller out there for a team that isn't loaded with great wide receivers? Okay. They have two pretty good ones, and then Waller. With that, would you rather have Fuller, Callahan, and Darby out there, and then put Sertan on Waller? How would you like to slice this up? Didn't think I was going to come at you with that.
I didn't think you were, but I do.
Why wouldn't I?
Well,
because that's what Sertan now is there for, is to cover tight ends.
But he's been working outside for the past month.
I understand that.
And do you want to put him back in, or have you advanced to a point where you're best served by just leaving Pat Sertan out at cornerback and then trying something else? Now, I would say try Justin Simmons against Darren Waller. Maybe have him creep into the box more. But the problem is we also saw that Baltimore made some plays at Simmons' expense with Mark Andrews when the Broncos had Simmons in coverage on a very good tight end. So there's not a good answer here. There really isn't.
Well, saying that, hey, Sertan is getting comfortable at the cornerback position he's really good at, that's all true.
Yes.
However, if football is a game of matchups, and it is, you look for your best matchup. And is Sertan your best matchup against Waller?
He might. He and Justin Simmons are the best potential matchups physically.
Okay.
Because of their length.
Let me.
Even though they can't match Waller's size.
Allow me to put it another way. You want your best guy on Waller. You know why? He's the best player on their team.
Yes.
So you don't roll the dice with Simmons if you don't feel confident. You want your best cover guy who can cover a tight end. I don't care if the guy plays quarterback. Meaning, I don't care if Sertan was the quarterback of the team. If he's the best at covering a tight end, that's what he plays.
But we've also got limited experience with Sertan seeing him on tight ends at this point, and that's why, even though it is something that you were working on and maybe pointing toward in the summer, and even though maybe you're a little concerned about Simmons in coverage after you saw him against Andrews, I think Simmons is probably the better play here.
Well, I'm not going
to... You got to go with experience, I think.
I am not going to argue with that at all. This is Vic Fangio's decision.
Yeah.
If he... What I'm saying to him is, if Fangio feels Sertan, in his limited amount of experience covering tight ends, is his best option, then that Sertan has to be the guy, with the expense of Fuller being on the field. It just has to be that way. Because, again, Waller is their best player. But if he believes Justin Simmons is their best guy to cover a tight end, then do that, and then, you know, problem solved. Moving forward, the power rankings coming out, right? You know, they usually come out on Tuesday or Wednesday. Football, Pro Football Talk has the Broncos at 23. When you look at all of the other rankings that are published weekly, generally speaking, the Broncos are 15 to 20, between 15 and 20. Pro Football Talk has the Broncos at number 23. They're probably the lowest there of any ranking that I have seen.
And probably the lowest team with a winning record, I would imagine, right?
Yep.
Having not seen the entire rankings, I would guess that.
Well, you're right. You're absolutely right.
Yeah.
But you know what? They write in a one-sentence blurb like they do for every team.
Yes.
They wrote, that 3-0 start was a mirage after all. So by you saying, well, they're the lowest team with a winning record, they just answered why they are. Mm-hmm. That 3-0 start was a mirage after all.
And you know what's interesting? Look at the Raiders, for example. They're 3-2 as well, right? And we're going to get into all the chaos, not only today, but the rest of the week with the Raiders. But they have their first two wins came in the exact same scenario and the exact order of the Broncos' two losses. The Raiders opened Baltimore at home at Pittsburgh. Win, win. Same two opponents, same scenarios in terms of home and road. Broncos lost. So you've got kind of a head-to-head. It's an indirect head-to-head thing, but you have kind of, you actually have a pretty decent apples-to-apples comparison here.
I'll say this.
And the Raiders, by the way, are 15th in these power rankings.
I'll say this about this game on Sunday. The winner of this game survives and advances. The loser is going to start circling the drain fast. The loser will start circling the drain fast. Both started 3-0. One of those teams is likely going to be 3-3 outside of a tie. With the Raiders, it's understandable because they just lost their head coach, but they lost their play caller. And then people are saying, well, you lose your head coach. Yeah, they lost the guy who is the brains behind that offense.
That being said, I do think that maybe the Raiders, if they lose this game, their circling of the drain will be delayed a bit because they have the Eagles right after that,
yep,
a bye week, and then the Giants. But then, so it's possible the Raiders could be 5-3, right?
Right.
But then, here's the circle of the drain time. Kansas City, Cincinnati, Dallas, Washington, Kansas City, Cleveland.
But wait. By that time, this new coaching staff, this new head coach, maybe the offensive coordinator, maybe they're on more solid footing in 2-3 weeks.
Possibly.
It's this game that you need to worry about. The last two games, I think it is fair to say the Broncos have been out-coached. Is that fair?
Very fair. Yeah.
if Vic Fangio, not Pat Shurmur, Vic Fangio gets out coached and they lose this game, it's time to go.
By somebody who's never been a head coach in his
time
life.
Time to go.
You'd pull the cord on Monday. If
No. I would not pull the cord on Monday.
Say it's time to go. That's why I was.
Listen. What are you really gaining by firing a head coach in the early parts of the season? What are you gaining?
Well, same.
You're not going to make the playoffs.
Well, you maybe think it's a chance to save the season. See, in football,
you're not going to fire.
But in football, most coach firings are when you're done, right? Week 13, week 14, you're out of it. But we see it in other sports all the time. We see it in the NHL, NBA. Yes. Soccer, we see it in baseball, that they make a move. You make a move in about a third of the way through the season, and sometimes it provides that prod. I mean, the Rockies made the playoffs 1 year because they pulled the cord on Clint Hurdle in May and brought in Jim Tracy.
Let me rephrase what I'm saying to give you a different definition of it's time to go. You're not going to fire a coach whose record is 3-3. Never. In the NFL.
I don't think it's ever happened.
I don't think it's ever happened. So he's not going to be fired. And I'm not suggesting he should be fired. What I am saying, though, is when George Payton does the end of the year evaluation, if the Broncos lose this game and Vic Fangio gets out coached, unless the Broncos finish with 10 wins, you look back at this game and say, that's the one that pushed him over the
top. How'd that happen?
By it's time to go.
The other thing I would also say is this. If you do reach a point later on in the year where you know Vic Fangio is done, don't wait for the end of the season. Do it. Make the move right then and there and start the process of trying to find your next coach.
Well, you can't interview anybody.
You can interview Doug Peterson.
Okay. You can interview one. You can interview one guy.
Or any other coaches that are not.
I understand that, but chances are you're going to wind up hiring a guy who is probably an assistant someplace. I get it.
Yeah.
I get it.
Peterson, to me, should be your first call if you make a move. That's fine.
If that's who they want to hire, that's who they're going to hire. If indeed, listen, I don't want to see Vic Fangio get fired.
I don't either.
But I can tell you right now, if he gets outcoached, if his defense gets outcoached, outsmarted, like he has been in the last two games, I don't know what else he brings to the table. He's a marginal head coach. He's a very good defensive mind.
And like you said yesterday, it's playoffs or bust.
Yes. Coming up after the break, Avs start the season tonight. Our guy Terry Fry covers the Avs. Joins us next.
Afternoon Drive with Goodman and Mason, presented by Silter Har Mazda, a no-pressure buying experience in Broomfield at Silter Har Mazda. Find them at sthmazda.com. Live from the Sasquatch Casino and Wildcard Casino Sports Desk, here's Eric and Andrew.
Welcome back. Afternoon Drive. Goodman Mason. Watch us, milehighsports.com. You can reach us, Rocky Mountain Forest Products, Twitter feed at Mace Denver, at Eric Goodman. If you are looking for wholesale lumber to the public, go to rmfp.com. In the meantime, I want to tell you about Heather Taylor and her team at Impact Commercial Real Estate. Finding the right location for your business is really important, whether you're buying, whether you're leasing, or if you just need to sell. Her team has over 50 years of experience. They're hands-on. They think out of the box as well, and that's the type of real estate team that you want to work with. You know, not every real estate deal is going to go through, but when you have a creative team, much better chance of it going through. Go to impactcommercial.co. That's impactcommercial.co. Time now for The Buzz.
The Buzz is presented by Mighty Plumbing and Heating. Why does Mighty Plumbing and Heating have nearly 155 star reviews? No one has better service and they will meet or beat any written offer. Go to mightyph.com.
All right, let's go out to the hotline. We're going to bring in our friend Terry Fry. He covers the Avalanche for Colorado Hockey Now, Mile High Sports Magazine. He also covered the Avalanche for the Denver Post and was a national hockey writer for ESPN. How are you, Terry?
Thanks for having me. Danny has assured me that both of you guys are in a good mood, and when I hang up, I'll be in a brighter mood than I am right now.
Well, as long as you didn't say to me just now, I'm going to hang up and listen, I feel like I'm in a good mood already.
Long time caller, first time listener.
Exactly. Let's talk about your former employer, ESPN. They did their predictions for the upcoming season. They asked all of their experts. I'm guessing back in the day when you worked there, you were one of those experts that, you know, picked who was going to win what awards, who was going to win the Stanley Cup. According to all of their experts, the Avs are going to win the Stanley Cup. MacKinnon is going to win the Hart Trophy, and Makar is going to win the Norris. Do you agree with any of them, all of them? Where do you stand?
I had picked the Avalanche the last 2 years in a row to win it, two seasons in a row to win it, and that didn't work. So this time, and I honestly believe this is not an attempt for clickbait or anything. Right now, I don't think they're as good as they were last year.
I couldn't agree more.
And they're going to have to prove it to me. You know, but the funny thing about hockey is that isn't saying they can't win the Stanley Cup.
No.
Because we saw a lot of people forget when the Avalanche won the first Stanley Cup in 1996, they were not the best team in the league. Detroit was, by far. And then the next year, the Avalanche were the best team in the league, and the Red Wings won the Stanley Cup. So it isn't necessarily who's the best team, and it shouldn't be necessarily the best team, because as we know, the hockey playoffs are the premier test of resiliency, of mental and physical resiliency, and so it doesn't necessarily involve the same factors that go into a regular season record. But right now, I don't think they're going to win the Stanley Cup, and I don't say that to be theatrical or anything else. And honestly, the odds are, if you say pick any, even the heavy favorite is not a lock to win the Stanley Cup ever. So for me to say the Avalanche won't win the Stanley Cup is not really going out on a limb, either mathematically or realistically. Now, I was a longtime voter in the NHL Awards, and I did make predictions as ESPN's hockey columnist for 8 years, that I know the way the awards works. I think some of the dynamic here is that there's a feeling that maybe Nathan MacKinnon, it'll almost be a body of work, a multi-season body of work, because he should have won the Hart 2 years ago,
yep.
two seasons ago, the last full season. He should have won the Hart, and he didn't. And I almost think if he wins it, it'll be a body of work mentality, kind of his turn among those elite five cream of the crop players in the NHL. It'll almost be his turn. Now, Cale Makar, I think, I get made fun of because I'm the only one who's very, very concerned about him being paired with Samuel Girard. I think in some cases Samuel Girard is so small and so freewheeling that it will take some of the improvisation and impromptu nature out of Cale Makar's game. And so, if it does that much, they will make some changes in the defensive pairings. But I think that's the one asterisk. But boy, you talk about the first 2 years of the career, and I touched on it in the Mile High Magazine profile. How's this for a segue? In the Mile High Magazine, Mile High Sports Magazine that comes out on Monday, I have a very extensive profile of Cale Makar, and I think there'll be a lot of things in there you didn't know and you'll appreciate and you'll find very, very interesting. But I think that's when you win the Calder your first year and be a Norris finalist the second year, the trajectory obviously is upward. And so I do think he has a chance to win the Norris. And the thing about that is, a lot of times Norris winners were judged by offensive numbers. We've gotten past that. We understand that the best defensemen now are the guys who eat up minutes and also can contribute offensively. And Cale Makar now has become probably the best hybrid-type defenseman in the league, and that's his strength. That's how he can win the Norris, is kind of an appreciation for his all-around body of work. And so, yeah, I think he can win the Norris.
So you talk about Makar being a contender for the Norris Trophy. Of course, we know what Nathan MacKinnon is. So what does this Avs team need to win a Stanley Cup that maybe it does not possess at this moment?
Well, number one, number two, and number three on that list are a proven long-term number one playoff stand on his head, steal games type goalie. I mean, that is the preeminent quality you need to have in a playoff run. And Darcy Kuemper has not played more than 51 games in his career, and he's only played 35 or more that one time. And I'm not skeptical about Darcy Kuemper. I just haven't been shown he's capable of being that playoff. He played a great game against the Avalanche couple seasons ago. I think it was 49 saves. So he's capable of it in that one-time shot, but we'll find out if he's capable of being that steel, that larcenous goaltender that gets into other teams' heads, particularly in the playoffs, and ends up being an integral part of lifting the cup over the head. I think that's number one, two, and three. Number four is forward depth. I think they've lost some names there, and I'm not convinced yet they're going to be able to fill in for them. And those are the major issues in my mind.
We're talking with Terry Fry, covers the Avalanche for Colorado Hockey Now, Mile High
Sports.
By
the way,
yes.
Did Vic Fangio wearing a Gabe Landeskog jersey today?
You did, and he was obviously supporting the local team, but yeah, I'm not sure that he knew who Gabe Landeskog was.
Well, I thought it was kind of a cheap shot, though, when you asked him questions in Swedish and expected him to understand them.
Terry, I'm very disappointed in you. This might be the last time you ever come on the show. You know why? You know why? What was Fangio wearing?
An Avalanche jersey. Oh, you mean a sweater.
Thank you. How long have you covered hockey? Now, you're not required to say organization because you're not from Canada.
I have covered the National Hockey League since 1977. Mm-hmm.
I know. And you almost just lost your card for calling it a jersey.
Well, I thought you were going to tell me I called them the Rockies because I did cover the Rockies for five seasons.
Right.
When they were an NHL team without a bullpen either. And so I thought that's what I said. And I thought I slipped and called them Rockies. And I guess I didn't.
Well, you know, NHL shop, by the way, but says jerseys rather than sweaters. So you're off the hook.
All right. Yeah. So I want to go back to something that you brought up. I'm not asking you to give away all the groceries, but you said that I know that you wrote a profile on Cale Makar. You said it's in depth. And we will learn a lot of things about him that probably many of us didn't know. Give us a few things. Tease us. What are we going to find out from this article?
Well, the most interesting thing is Tyson Jones did the same thing, but he took the rare path of turning his back on major junior hockey. And his family was so perceptive about understanding that he needed to mature, he needed to get bigger, he needed to get stronger, and that he was very, 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 very young. He turned his back on major junior hockey, which is the primary feeder still for the NHL organizations. And professional hockey, he played tier two junior A hockey in Canada with the Brooks Bandits, and did not play major junior hockey. Stayed out of it on purpose so he could be eligible to play NCAA hockey. Practice a lot more, get better that way. And he went to a very downtrodden NCAA program, UMass at the time, and now it's one of the better programs in the country because he committed at age 15 to go from Calgary to UMass. I mean, that's a pretty staggering cultural adjustment for him. And he went to UMass, made that program what it is today. And I'm not being facetious. I mean, it's a terrific program now. And so that's part of it. The very perceptive path his family and he took to avoid major junior hockey and its pseudo NHL rules and schedules and play NCAA hockey. You know, I realize we're used to a lot of players coming from NCAA hockey to the NHL, coming through all of the United States Hockey League, for example. But this is a case of a Canadian in a city with a major junior team, the Calgary Hitmen. He was drafted in the Bantam draft by the Medicine Hat Tigers, and he turned his back on it. And there's just a lot of, as you read it, you'll realize it was a very, very perceptive path mapped out by himself and his family. And they were realistic about what he could do at a very young age and didn't want to throw him in too fast, too deep. And he turned out being the fourth pick in the NHL draft.
This is a completely esoteric question, but I've been asked this by a couple of people. And so I'm just going to ask you, why are the numbers on the white jersey / sweaters, why are they blue now rather than black?
Because they called in fashion designer Reg Dunlop, and he said that that's the way it should be.
Well, one thing before we go, and I want to be very clear about this. I'm not suggesting that Jared Bednar's job should be on the line. He's very popular in that locker room.
Why not? Why not? This is hockey. They treat coaches with all the respect of disposable razors.
I understand that. But Jared Bednar, I think, for the most part, has done a very good job. However, when you look at the talent on this team, and you look at, I'm going to call it like it is, the playoff failures. Now, they've had a lot of injuries, too. If the Avalanche don't get past the second round again, I'm not suggesting he should be let go, but is it fair to say, is Jared Bednar the right guy to get this team to the next level?
Well, I think you'd have to judge by the circumstances at the time how that comes about, whether there are extenuating circumstances at all. I have little respect for hockey's tendency to make coaches the scapegoat when it's so much obviously going to be part of organizational failures. There's no question, absolutely no question. And I talked to Joe Sakic about this last year when I did a Mile High Sports Magazine Q&A with him, and it was such a relaxed conversation. We should have been smoking cigars and sipping scotch. And I asked Joe about whether during his playing days, whether there's a feeling they should have won more cups than they did. We're honoring Pierre Lacroix on Saturday night for being the architect of the franchise, the late Pierre Lacroix. And Pierre always felt like they should have won more Stanley Cups, the Stanley Cup, more often than they did,
right,
and more plentiful multiple times. And so I asked Joe about that, and he said, yeah, there's definitely a feeling we left a couple on the table. I think they left the one on the table last season. There's no doubt in my mind. Now, if it gets to the point at the end of the year where Joe Sakic can look back and say, I was thinking of Bob Hartley was a coach kind of during that stretch of leading him on the table. And, Pierre surprised everybody by firing Bob Hartley early in the year, but that was definitely a case of Pierre thinking that they weren't going to win a consecutive division championship and set an NHL record, and also the feeling that it was starting to slip away again. And that would be Joe Sakic. The only way I could see Joe Sakic firing Jared Bednar with a decent record, because I don't see them any worse than having a decent record, would be saying we've left a couple of cups on the table. That's not acceptable as the precedence of this organization. And after a few years, it's time for a change. I don't think that's going to happen. I'm not rooting for it to happen. I don't think it will happen, and I don't think it should happen. But that would be the hockey mentality that could enter into it. And you guys have seen Joe Sakic has been very, very patient as a yep. as the chief mm-hmm. executive of the hockey organization on every level, whether it's evaluating players and putting together a team and riding through that 48-point season in 2017, which was the worst bang for the buck history season in the history of hockey, because they were just historically inept while scraping the top of the salary cap, which was very, very, very hard to do. But Joe didn't panic and fire Jared Bednar after his first year. There were also, and I think a lot of people forget this, there have been a kind of bumps in the road since where conventional hockey thinking – like the Vegas Golden Knights have changed coaches, I think, 7 times or something like that. I'm kidding. It's not that bad. But we've seen teams fire coaches and win the Stanley Cup. And that's just the hockey mentality. I don't think Joe is susceptible to it, despite being a lifer hockey guy, and I don't think it's going to enter into it. But that would be the philosophy and the hockey mentality that could make it happen.
Terry, thanks so much for your time. Enjoy the game tonight, and we will catch up with you soon. Terry Fry, by the way, check out his website, terryfry.com. Is that correct?
Yes, TerryFry.com.
And you can buy many, many leather-bound books. Thanks, yes. Terry.
Thank you. I enjoyed it.
See you, man. All right, coming up after the break, CBS Sports came out with a list of 3 coaches who are on the hot seat. Is Fangio on that list? Should he be on that list? That's next. Tell your children not to do what I have
done. Afternoon Drive with Goodman and Mason, presented by Silter Har Mazda. A no-pressure buying experience in Broomfield at Silter Har Mazda. Find them at sthmazda.com. Live from the Sasquatch Casino and Wildcard Casino Sports Desk, here's Eric and Andrew.
Welcome back. Afternoon Drive. Goodman Mason. Watch us. MileHighSports.com. You can reach us. Rocky Mountain Forest Products Twitter feed @MaceDenver @EricGoodman. If you're looking for wholesale lumber to the public, go to rmfp.com. Time now for What's Trending.
What's Trending is presented by Impact Real Estate. Impact Real Estate is creative real estate and solutions with the greatest impact. Go to impactcommercial.co.
CBS Sports listed three coaches on the hot seat. Last week, John Gruden would have been on it. He's not on the hot seat anymore because he's gone. With that, in order, CBS Sports lists these guys. Urban Meyer's number one. David Culley of the Texans is number two. And Joe Judge, the head coach of the Giants, is number three. They have essentially an honorable mention, which is Matt Nagy, as a guy to keep their eye on. Should Fangio be on this list?
He shouldn't be in the top three. He should probably be there with Matt Nagy in kind of that next group where...
Keep your eye on.
Yeah, the seat is warming. It will be a hot seat if the Broncos lose on Sunday.
Right. Really hot.
Scorching.
For a 3-3 team, that seems on the surface outrageous, doesn't it?
Yeah, but it's a 3-3 team that started 3-0.
That's what I'm saying, yes. On the surface.
Yes.
You just landed... you just flew in from Mars.
Yeah.
And you know something about football, but you haven't watched any games. You see a team that's 3-3, mm-hmm. and the head coach's seat is blazing hot. That doesn't make sense.
And then you'd say, well, also you consider the previous two seasons, 7-9, 5-11, and the trend is decidedly downward.
Right.
So it would be scorching. And then the thing is, it probably wouldn't get any cooler 4 days after that because you're going to Cleveland. See, it's that Cleveland game. Four nights later, that is just that puts so much on this Sunday's game because you lose and you're probably looking at a 4-game losing streak.
I'll tell you what surprises me: 3-game
winning streak to start season, and at that point, no one will take the Broncos seriously.
How is David Culley on this list? A first-year head coach. Now, if you're telling me he's having problems internally there, mm-hmm. that's one thing. They gave him nothing. They asked him to make a gourmet meal out of spam and ketchup.
Because
and
he's
egg
a
noodles.
Sacrificial lamb.
That's terrible. For a guy who has never been a head coach, mm-hmm. who waited basically like Vic Fangio to bring him in for 1 year, give him nothing. Nothing. And then have to deal with the Deshaun Watson stuff. And then he's on the hot seat? Really?
Yeah. It's not fair to him, but also with the Texans. If they ever do trade Deshaun Watson, they bring in a bunch of picks, then what's their play? Do they say, let's go get the best quarterback we can at the top of the draft?
Well, yeah.
Or do they may say maybe they don't like the quarterbacks in next year's draft and use some of that draft capital to trade for a quarterback?
Wait.
Or
Oh, yeah. Yeah, they could do that.
Yeah. Maybe Aaron Rodgers wouldn't want to be there, but maybe trade for a Matt Ryan or Kirk Cousins, perhaps. While maybe saying, all right, we're going to wait a year and draft our quarterback of the future in 2023.
Right.
Again, with some of the draft capital you get back because you trade Deshaun Watson. Everything about Houston screams that they can't win right now. They're really not trying. I wouldn't say they're not trying to win right now. I mean, that's too much. But you look at their roster. It's an older roster.
Right.
It reminds me of a major league team that is clearly second tier for that year, but is starting to rebuild the farm system. The most important stuff for the Texans is looking ahead to 22 and 23. The roster, the team they're putting out there right now really isn't relevant. So that's why I think it is odd that he's on the hot seat given everything.
What do we have coming up on Mountain High Appliance, just in case you missed it?
This morning, Bones Highland made a very strong assertion about juices. So we'll talk about juice and what your favorite juices are, and also the MLB playoffs. Today's an off day for baseball, but the ALCS already set, and we're halfway there for the NLDS, or for the NLCS. That's next right here on Afternoon Drive with Goodman and Mason on Mile High Sports.
From behind, time we stop. Hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going down.
Afternoon Drive with Goodman and Mason, presented by Silter Har Mazda. A no-pressure buying experience in Broomfield at Silter Har Mazda. Find them at sthmazda.com. Live from the Sasquatch Casino and Wildcard Casino Sports Desk, here's Eric and Andrew.
I'm a traveler of both time and space.
Welcome back. Afternoon Drive, Goodman Mason. Watch us, MileHighSports.com. You can reach us. Rocky Mountain Forest Products Twitter feed at Mace Denver, at Eric Goodman. If you are looking for wholesale lumber to the public on your next project, don't pay retail, pay wholesale. Go to rmfp.com. Time now for the final word.
The final word is presented by the McKenzie Law Firm. Don't wait before it's too late. Protect your family by setting up a will, living will, or estate plan with Dan McKenzie at themckenziefirm.com. Just in case you missed it, presented by Mountain High Appliance, Colorado's favorite appliance store for 25 years in Louisville, Colorado Springs, and now open in their new store in Littleton. Go to mountainhighappliance.com.
Just in case you missed it this morning on the Rocky Mountain Forest Products Twitter feed, Bones Highland, the new Nuggets rookie, made a very strong comment that, just a reminder, orange juice is better than apple juice. So I wanted to ask you guys, is Bones right? And what is your favorite fruit juice?
Wow, that's very provocative of him to say that. Not as provocative as what Mike Malone said about Highland today, which was he's got big B-A-L-L-S.
We can just play the AC/DC song, right?
Yeah.
For that. And we can say that. So can't we say it?
You know what? George Carlin said you probably should. So what George Carlin said in
talking about a dance
on the album. Hold on the
costume ball
on the album Class Clown. He's talking about the seven dirty words you can't say on television. Mm-hmm. He said you can say the word balls on the air, as in
basketball,
as in Roberto Clemente has two balls on him, but he can't say, I think he hurt his balls on that play. He's holding them. He must have hurt them, by mm-hmm. God.
Cranberry, by the way.
That, by the way, is the exact George Carlin line.
And also, cranberry is the superior juice to both apple and orange.
I'm more of an apple guy. I'm an orange juice.
Apple cider guy.
Yeah. You probably like it spiked with something, though, don't you?
No.
Really?
Yeah, like I like just warm apple cider with no alcohol, like a little cinnamon stick in it. I mean, we're getting some autumnal weather. It's perfect time for a warm apple cider, right?
By the way, also... telling you what else Mike Malone said about Bones Highland today. He said basically it's going to be impossible to keep him off the floor. He said he has earned his right to be on the floor with the second team.
Nice.
I know I'm excited to watch it.
Yep, me
just
too.
In case you missed it, the ALCS is set. The Boston Red Sox will take on the Houston Astros game one on Friday, and the Atlanta Braves await the winner of Giants-Dodgers. That game five of the NLDS is tomorrow. So, who will represent the American League in the World Series?
I know who we both want to advance.
Not Houston?
Right. Right.
Yeah, you don't want the Houston trash cans in the World Series.
Right.
And as I've learned with Dusty Baker, they probably aren't going to make the World Series.
Right.
That's kind of the lot in life, right? Dusty Baker gets you as far as the LCS,
yeah.
And that's it.
Red Sox Braves would be cool. Red Sox Giants would be cool. I don't know if I really want to see the Astros again.
Basically, we don't want to see the Astros and we don't want to see the Dodgers, right? Can we agree on that?
No, I wouldn't mind seeing the Dodgers alone.
Okay.
I've told you that. I like greatness.
You respect them, I know, but they won it all last year.
That's okay.
Yeah.
They would be the first team to win it back-to-back since 2000. So it's been a long time since a team has won it back-to-back. Not to mention, they're arguably the best organization in baseball and maybe one of the best in sports.
If I were neutral, I would lean on my whole thing of saying, root for the team that has gone the longest since winning it all.
That's selfish.
The Dodgers, well, if I were neutral. So the Dodgers last won it last year. The Giants won it in 2014.
Yep.
Astros won it in 2017. Braves won it in 1995.
You know what I would go with?
And the Giants, yeah.
You know what I would go with?
And the Sox won it.
It's on the same lines as you.
Sox 2017.
Root for the team that has blown more World Series opportunities than every other team still left. And again, we come back to the Braves.
Yeah, you know what? It would be kind of hilarious if the worst team in the postseason record-wise won the World Series.
How many wins do they have?
88.
You know what?
They had a lot. Think of the, though, with the Braves, they had a lot of years that they won like 96, 100, 102 games, and they went flaming out in one series. So I think the universe owes them one.
Just in case. Oh, sorry, Eric.
No, go ahead.
I didn't mean to talk over
you. No, you did.
Just in case you missed it, on last night's NHL on ESPN broadcast, kind of like you had mentioned, you brought it up when I asked you what elements of the broadcast you would like to see. Pat Maroon of the Lightning was wired like NFL players are mic'd up, so we got to hear some of his comments on the bench there. Which Avs player would be the most entertaining on a hot mic during a game?
McKinnon by far, because he is so high-wired, high-intensity, that you really don't know what he's going to say. And that's not a bad thing.
Yeah.
But he's a very, very intense guy on the ice. That's what I want to hear from.
Can't argue with that. I mean, I'd like to hear, I wouldn't mind hearing Landeskog as well. I think
it'd be as interesting.
I think McKinnon would offer some more hot sound bites.
Well, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, I mean, how many times can you get good job, boys? I mean, I want to hear McKinnon say something. Way to go, boys. Let's go get them. Let's go get them, boys.
Is that your Canadian accent?
Go get them, boys. Yeah. Because I play for the organization, and I went to Tim Hortons and got myself a donut.
That's interesting.
Yeah. Come. Have another donut, because you fell, you fat pig.
Okay, now you're doing a Jim Schoenfeld impression.
Yes. Former Sabres defenseman, coach of the Devils, and... Was it Koharski who he
Don
was?
Don Koharski.
He was going after Don Koharski, arguably one of the greatest moments in hockey history, in which Koharski and Schoenfeld were arguing essentially as they were walking off the ice in that little tunnel area.
Mm-hmm.
And they were barking back and forth, and Schoenfeld yells out, "Yeah, yeah, because you fell, you fat pig. Have another donut. Have another donut."
Just in case you missed it. The FIFA World Cup qualifying continues tonight for the U.S. men's national team. They're actually kicking off here in just a few minutes at 5 o'clock p.m. Mountain Time, USA versus Costa Rica. Mace, I know that you're a soccer aficionado. Do you have any thoughts about this match with Costa Rica?
I mean,
don't answer yet. Don't answer. No. Can you find that Koharski bite, that Schoenfeld bite, while he's answering? Because Andrew will probably go 5 minutes on. I'll give you plenty of time.
Well, look, it's, you know, you hate to say must win in, as far as at this point in the campaign, but U.S. put out a lesser side. Greg Berhalter was doing some load management when the U.S. went down to Panama on Sunday. They lose 1-0 or 1-0 if you want to go full on soccer. So you're back home against Costa Rica. Costa Rica is fifth in the CONCACAF table. U.S. is tied for second with Panama with 8 points. They say you got to win at home, try to get as many draws on the road as you can. You get a win tonight, you're going to be feeling good. You get only a draw or a loss here, it's going to get really dicey coming in for the next round of matches coming up here. This is match 6, by the way, of 14. So we have a little ways to go, but this is a big one for the U.S. tonight.
That is,
and they're going to have their A lineup back in. You're going to have Zach Steffen of Manchester City in goal. Ricardo Pepi is going to be up front, as a striker. So hopefully they'll be able, the firepower that we've seen in two of the last three U.S. matches will be back tonight.
I got to tell you something. If this American football podcast that you do on DNVR.com doesn't work out, you could do another football podcast.
World football.
There you go.
Real football.
Danny, were you able to find that?
Proper football.
Jim Schoenfeld yelling at Don Koharski?
I was, yeah. I think I got the part here.
You're crazy. You're good because you fell, you fat pig. Have another donut. Have another donut.
Have another donut because you fell, you fat pig. Have another donut.
It's the way he says
Have
donut.
Have another donut.
It's the way they says donut. It's
right.
Donut. Donut.
That's why they talk in Canada.
I know.
Because you fell, you fat pig.
You know they have Tim Hortons on this side of the border in some spots.
Probably in Detroit.
Ohio.
I know. Well, I believe they have it in Buffalo.
I
live there.
I had a Tim Hortons in Toledo or a couple of months ago. Isn't there a statue of Tim Horton himself in Buffalo? Because he played for the Sabres.
He did play for the Sabres, and he tragically died.
Yes.
But I don't know if there is a monument to him. That was Mountain High Appliance. Just in case you missed it, you can walk in any store, try out the appliances before you buy them. Also, their sales staff, super experienced. If you're going to make that type of investment, work with people who really can get you what you want. You can find Mountain High Appliance in Louisville. Littleton, you can also find their clearance center in Denver. Coming up after the break, well, we're going to talk about an NFL.com ranking of all the quarterbacks in the league. Where is Teddy Bridgewater? I got to tell you, it might surprise you. That's next.